Hello, Internet. This is Chase Wassenaar, and welcome to the November episode of K-Pop Shenanigans.
November?
I'm so excited. No, it's the October episode. We're recording in November about the October. Or did I say November?
You said November.
You said November.
God damn it.
Well, podcast intro?
So, guys, I'm going to clap us in. You're just going to... You guys ready?
Okay. Obviously you're not.
I'm gonna clap us in 3, 2. Hello, Internet, and welcome to the October episode of K-Pop Shenanigans. My name is Chase Wassenaar, and I am very excited to be here with y'all today. There's been a lot going on in October, so much so that we had to cut a third of the songs that we had originally all marked as songs we all wanted to talk about, because there's just been too much news. There's been too much going on, too many songs that are definitely worth your time. And I can't wait to break them all down with my lovely co-hosts. First, I am joined by Kristen. How are you doing today, Kristen?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. It's so rare for the host to be asked how he's doing that it really is just like an incredibly refreshing experience.
Yeah, it's because we don't care.
You know, Zach, my lovely editor and also co-host, I'm going to ask how you're doing and pretend I didn't hear that. That's how I'm going to go. I think that's the play.
I think you are greatly overstating the greatness of October, but let's go.
Well, I guess that's a spoiler for some of these songs we're going to talk about. Certainly, there was a lot going on. And if you're wondering why I'm not introducing our third co-host, Shay, to join us at a month that included Monsta X, it is because of the news surrounding Monsta X. After that comeback, Wonho has left the group after facing accusations from a former roommate and trainee that he had worked with about having stolen things and sold them without asking, and smoking weed back in 2013, which are apparently things that can ruin your career in 2019 in Korea. We could talk about this, and I think that we will talk about a similar story later on in the episode, but really none of us could do this story justice quite like Shay, who is Wonho as his ultimate bias. And so I don't even want to talk about this too much, but Kristen, is there anything you just wanted to add real quick before we move on to our next news topic today?
Not really, but it just feels very minor. Like, oh, okay, this is what we're getting after people for. And this, it sucks. I am so eloquent today.
Well, it's frustrating, especially for those of us who grew up with American pop, because the idea that anyone would like, oh man, they smoked weed 6 years ago, would even
be 6 years ago,
the conversation of a conversation. That we would even humor this as a remote thing is just so absurd. Wonho has done so much for Monsta X and the K-pop community as a whole, and just seems like the nicest guy from everything that we've read, the letters that he's written to fans now apologizing about all this. It really felt like he did this because he cares so much about the other members that even if he thought that all of this was, you know, ridiculous, like he wasn't going to take that on them, which is great.
Yeah,
but also why I feel like, to me, Starship is the one most to blame on all of this, because Starship should have been there to defend their talent. And we have seen talent defended in this spot before. We saw this with Soonmi and her agency when there were some malicious rumors being spread. We see it a lot with girl groups, actually. For whatever reason, boy groups in 2019 have not gotten the same defense from
because everyone's terrified by all the stuff that happened in March.
True. You want to get into that a little bit more? Because that's a really good point that I don't think I would have made otherwise.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about Wonho or Monsta X in particular. I don't know enough about them to say it. But these things feel like an overreaction to look at how everything in March. Now, again, the stuff, I don't like talking about this stuff too much, but Seungri, YG, all of that stuff spiraled so out of control so quickly and hit so many people that everyone's overly paranoid about finding themselves being caught up in anything even remotely like this. So I feel like that's probably the trigger happy, let's get rid of, you know, let's terminate contracts quickly on people when it looks like they're, you know, just the tiniest bit of smoke around something. So I did not mean for that pun. I meant with the, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, not a marijuana joke. But you know what? There we go. There we go. I ended up making nice accidental pun. Though, unlike Chase, I actually caught it this time.
Yeah, I was going to say congratulations, certainly more aware than I was.
exactly. But yeah, I think it's overreaction to everybody being afraid of getting caught up in something so much bigger happening. And that if you cut things off immediately, then maybe you'll be able to escape some of the potential fallout that you don't know if it's there. Because is it likely in this situation, what I've heard of it, it's probably not connected to anything bigger, but considering that that type of thing has nearly destroyed YG, you know, one of the biggest agencies in a very short period of time, they still exist, they still operate, but just barely. Imagine what the smaller ones are thinking right now. Imagine how scared they are of something like this turning into something much bigger.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right, is that, I mean, as someone who is, unfortunately, stuck on that YG bandwagon for a lot of things. Yeah. I can tell you right now that it can absolutely devastate you if you let this stuff linger too long. But to me, this is not even close to the same thing.
No.
And I feel like if we are overreacting in that regard, then like, why aren't we doing that for the female group?
My guess would also be that there's nothing really happening on the girl group. And, you know, there's been nothing of that magnitude. It kind of pointing to anyone involved there. So it's like, we can afford to defend the female idols because no girl group, no idol in a girl group has done anything that bad. Whereas in the boy groups, if you try to jump in and defend the wrong person, well, look where that gets you. I'm not saying I agree with them. I'm saying I think I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, well, and this is going to be the third time this year now. The first time that really hit me was BI from Icon, when there was stuff about him potentially having bought drugs at one point and having that be the end of him and potentially the end of Icon as a result. Still no idea what's going to go on with that. I know someone left The Boys earlier this year under similar circumstances. I'm not as familiar with that group, so I don't want to speak on that. But someone listening to this might be a fan of The Boys, so there you go. And there's one more we're going to talk about later this episode because we're just not allowed to have nice things is what I'm learning from this month. So that's kind of just where we're at. It's unfortunate. It sucks. We're going to move on to another thing that's really not great and is not fair to the people that are being affected by it. But not surprising, I think, picking up off the story from last month when we talked about there was an investigation that had been started into the Produce 101 type shows that the results had been rigged. The Produce 101 director has now officially admit to rigging the results specifically for X101 and Produce 48 to the extent that the top 20 trainees were chosen before public votes even began. So that's a big one for a lot of people. That's obviously a huge kind of culling of the field moment that I'm sure people will point to. As you can understand, a lot of people who spent time and money, literal money, to submit these votes are not particularly happy to hear that their favorite person may have gotten screwed over. But of course, what this has meant is that IZ*ONE, being a group that was formed by this skewed process, to say the least, has now been forced to pull their comeback showcase. They're pulling any cameo or teaser that they would have been on for other shows, you know, when they were going to host or guest on a thing. All that's been pulled. The comeback hasn't been canceled yet. It's postponed. That's my response to that is surejan.jpg. Yeah, this whole thing seems like a mess. And Zach, I want to turn it to you as someone who had some very strong feelings last time about the direction that we should be taking these shows to avoid exactly this next time around. What are your thoughts as you're seeing IZ*ONE kind of take the brunt of all of this backlash?
As I mentioned in... I don't know if I said it in specifically these words. When we did the August podcast where the story first started showing up, I'm thinking that JYP looks like a genius for not even pretending that his shows had any audience participation in who decided, you know, into deciding who ends up making the group. It was basically like, yeah, I'm going to choose and I'm going to eliminate whoever I want here. My thought to this would be, hey, everybody, treat it like it's professional wrestling. Things are predetermined. You can even open the votes if you want. Just don't charge anyone any freaking money. So that when they come back with, oh, but the votes meant nothing. It's like, yeah, but you didn't spend anything on it. What did you lose in it? What damage did you take from it? Is this going to work? No, this is the kind of thing that works in my head and not in reality. And that's why I'm not in charge of the world.
Yet. You're not in charge of the world yet.
Yeah.
You don't want me in charge of the world.
The memes would be fun. Like the chaos that would ensue would undoubtedly be the end of modern civilization. But yes. We're on that track anyway, you know? I feel like at least you would be doing it for like interesting reasons, just like experimenting to see how far we could go on certain stuff. I have respect for that, honestly.
So basically, you're okay with someone destroying the world as long as we have fun doing it.
Compared to the way we're destroying the world now? Sure. Yeah.
You've got too many qualifiers on this statement. I'm trying to trap you here right now. If so long as we have fun while doing it, you're fine with destroying the world.
Ask me after the election next year. Kristen, what about you? What are your thoughts on this whole Ice One stuff?
Zach gave some good comments. I hate that anyone in IZONE is getting flack or hate for this because they're not the ones responsible for this. That is what really makes my heart hurt. And if you are responsible for it, if you are responsible for sending hate out there to any group, stop it. I feel like this is... We talked about this a little bit before the show, Chase, that this is like going to be some sort of downhill slide, and it feels very precarious and unstable, and I'm just worried.
Yeah, this there's no happy ending to this, right?
No,
because again, it's there's a great film essay, if you're going to forgive a tangent for a second, by Film Crit Hulk that I've always loved, about Looper, and the whole like core concept of it is that so much of how we enjoy movies and media in general, right, is faith in the author. As long as we have faith in the person behind the story, we are willing to suspend our disbelief in order to enjoy it, right? But as soon as that's shattered, you can't go back. You can't put the genie back in the bottle once you see the strings. I don't know how this show works anymore. I don't know how you ever get the public to believe in it. I don't know how you ever get the public to want to buy into this concept again. Even if you go on the sure it's all for show, like it's clear the Korean audience like isn't gonna buy in because that's not what they were promised. They're not gonna want to go back to that. You can start, I think, with that idea of everything's fake and just have fun, yo. But God, it's just, especially with what we know about netizen culture, like even if you have this perfect world, like the chaos that you would cause, Zach, would be glorious. But I don't think there is a world, genuinely, in which anyone's ever going to be okay with the idea that these votes don't matter, as long as this is South Korea and the culture around what these shows are supposed to be is what it is. And so IZONE gets screwed here because all these girls did exactly what they were supposed to do, right? They went on the show, they performed their best. They didn't know things were being rigged in their favor. They had no control over whether the producers liked them more or less than the people voting at home. There's no way. How could they? And if they did, what are they supposed to do? Not take a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity?
Yeah.
So even in the worst-case scenario, they still are absolutely blameless in this, as far as I'm concerned. And it sucks that they're the ones that are going to take the hit because they're the ones who are the public face of it. Because people don't know the names of some random director, producer, whatever, right? He's going to go into the shadows and people are already joking about how white collar crime in Korea being published, lol, which is unfortunate that I don't have a counter argument to that. But yeah, it's just, I don't see the happy end game here. And so I think, unfortunately, this is just, IZONE is going to be set up as the sacrificial lamb. They're going to get killed. They're going to be pulled and try to be forgotten about. And they're going to try to bring back the show as soon as they can. Because apparently Mnet really is that shameless, according to what we're hearing about future seasons that they're talking about already.
So on to some good news.
CL is officially leaving YG Entertainment. Finally. Let the trumpets blare. Let the birds sing. Let the angels weep for CL's ability to actually release music again. This is something that if you've followed YG long enough, I'm sure you've heard our frustrations about YG and their tendency to just not release music. And CL was probably the biggest casualty of that. Just how many songs that she reportedly finished in America and was just never released due to how YG was handling their stuff at the time, which is really unfortunate. And it was very frustrating as someone who really liked CL, especially what she brings as a rapper, to be put in that spot. So seeing her finally free from YG was a nice surprise to wake up to when the news dropped, I believe just yesterday, by the time we're recording this. Kristen, you're not as hardcore of a CL fan, mostly because you probably, we were not listening to K-pop during her heyday. I don't even know how much CL you know.
None of us were listening to it in her heyday, I don't think.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah, I guess the closest would have been Shay.
Yeah.
And Shay is sir not appearing on this podcast. So what are your thoughts on this news, Kristen?
You're correct. I don't have a lot of experience listening to CL, but from what I have heard and following this story since we've been doing this podcast, it's just, I'm glad. I am so glad that this is happening, and I cannot wait to see what CL puts out. It's just happiness.
It is. Anyone getting out of YG is a good thing.
Get out while you can.
Yeah. We, Zach, before I go into my YG thing, I want to just give you a chance to chime in on CL. What are your thoughts with all this?
I mean, my only real question is probability she signed with P Nation. How high do we want to set that?
Oh, 100%? 95%?
Yeah, it's got to be high. I mean, she's worked with Psy before. She's collaborated with him in songs before, and it seems like that's the perfect place for her to go, because P Nation has actually started putting out music, and hey, they just kind of let their artists do what they want, it seems. Now that they finally got the company together, it's like, okay, it does seem to be, at least at first glance, the refuge for mistreated rappers.
Yeah. It certainly seems like a more talent-friendly agency, just in terms of the kind of understanding that side of it. And look, if I am CL, I'm looking at that Hyuna comeback that we're not allowed to talk about because it came out in November. And I am very strongly considering siding with P Nation. That seems like a thing that I could, that she could very much fit in well with people with that. But clearly, I think there's a lot to look into there that we'll get into next month. But look, here's where we're at with YG. Winner had a comeback in October that we're not talking about, did not make our list. Have not heard from Icon since BI left. They're presumably dead. Big Bang obviously has a lot going on right now.
Yeah, they think that maybe post military enlistment they might come back as four.
Maybe. And just kind of
try to pretend Seungri never existed.
Yeah, good luck with that. Blackpink, hey, remember Kristen 6 months ago when we were on this podcast and YG promised a Rosé solo, a Lisa solo, and a second Blackpink comeback
by
the end of the year?
Don't talk to me about it.
Do you remember? Because I remember.
Yeah, I remember that. And yeah, we're at the end of the year pretty much almost.
Yeah, absolutely nothing, huh? Where is it, YG? We have questions. Why aren't you answering our phone calls? I don't understand.
What did we expect?
I mean, I expected nothing and I'm still let down is really where I'm at. Like, God, it's just so frustrating. And I understand that there's no easy answer to this. Like, YG right now is going through what I'm sure is some legal hell for reasons entirely of their own devise, by the way. Entirely their fault.
I am flabbergasted that even the Winner comeback came out, because I'm like, how is anybody doing anything inside that company right now?
It's literally the first thing that they've done, if I remember correctly, because I know there was a boy group that was supposed to debut whose name I've completely forgotten. Sucks for them, by
Treasure
the way.
Something?
Yeah. Something.
And yeah, this might be the first thing that's come out of YG since, I think, Somi and her debut.
Yeah, Somi was YG.
Yeah, the Black label.
That's funny in retrospect. Well, yeah, so that's that. YG not doing great. CL leaving is great. I think we can all kind of agree on that. In a month of a lot of not great news, that was a nice thing to see. But now, of course, it's time for us to go to our songs we all want to talk about segment. Of course, we're going to be splitting this over part one and part two of our November cast. We've got 5 songs on the docket for today and 7 songs next time around, since we won't have to worry about news. There was a lot to go over. So we are going to jump in, though, to the first song that caught everybody's attention this month. These Nights by Rich Brian and Chung Ha. Chung Ha, obviously, I believe Kristen and I, very much a fan of snapping. You, Zach, very much not.
No.
This is the latest thing Chung Ha has done since then. Well, did this project turn you around? What were your thoughts on it?
She's been doing a bunch of collaborations with people. This isn't the only thing. She had something just last month that was a collaboration with somebody kind of like this. Or am I losing my mind?
You're right. She did a theme song for the Seoul Marathon last
week. Okay. Okay. That's what I remembered. It involved her running a lot. And I was like, yeah. I wasn't sure. Now that you say it was for a marathon, that makes sense.
Yeah. Chung Ha's fit, which is not in both senses of that word. So fair. Good choice for a marathon, I think, safe to say.
I swore there had also been more of these, those that she'd been doing recently. But like this song, I feel like in some ways this song may sum up a lot of my thoughts on October. Not all of them, but a number of them. In that it's good. There are things to like in this here, but I feel like I'm like this song feels very low key in ways where I'm like, okay, I feel like I want just a little bit more out of the song. It's got this kind of, you know, more low key, smooth sound to it most of the time. And I'm like, okay, I kind of am left wanting a bit more from the song. And it's, you know, it's pretty good as it goes. I will say they could use about 20% less auto-tune. I know it's being done for a stylistic reason, and I think it works here. You could just do a little bit less because it's, maybe that's part of the reason why I feel like it's just missing something. But I'm like, I feel like you may hear some phrases very similar to a lot of this popping up for a number of these songs coming up. I like it, but I feel like it's missing something to make me, you know, really want to seek it out.
I just gonna say to go off of your point, she did have one more collaboration actually between snapping and this, which was Run with Grizzly.
Okay,
which so I completely forgot about.
So I'm not insane. It seems like I've been seeing something from her every month for a while now.
Yeah, you're not insane. I'm insane because okay. I've completely forgotten that those songs happened. And I think, spoiler alert, of the three collaborations she's released, this is the one I feel the least of that about. But I also feel like Chung Ha has been very much limited by the people with whom she's collaborated recently. And Rich Brian strikes me as a poor man's The Weeknd. And that's not great because The Weeknd is very good and can pull off the autotune style that you're talking about. I don't think Rich Brian has the charisma to back it up. I certainly don't think his mullet has the ability to back that up. What in the world, K-pop? That his hair in this is atrocious, and it's just like you have the glamour of Chung Ha contrasted with mullet man on the back of a motorcycle.
Did you see how little budget there was in this video? They couldn't afford to give him a better haircut. They had enough money for a rear projector and a fog machine, and they borrowed a motorcycle from somebody, and that's how they put together this video.
Yeah, that they immediately returned. They made sure there were no damages or scratches so that they could get their full security deposit.
They borrowed this motorcycle from a friend. I mean, you know, they didn't, I don't think they had the money to put down a security deposit on a motorcycle. It looks good despite that, but it's just so, you know, so obviously you can see they're shooting so much around the fact that they have no budget on this video.
Yeah, they're very clearly, they had a room for a day and they had what was available on set. God, I could make fun of this video for a while, but I do need to let Kristen, you go before we wrap up here. What are your thoughts on These Nights, These Nights?
I think we all have come to a consensus here, and I'm so glad that we're in agreement. Like, this song is fine. It's like the epitome of late 80s synth pop for me, which isn't inherently bad, but the song is just fine. And Zach, I totally get what you're saying. It feels like the song, it's not going to where it needs to go, it just stays in one place. This one felt like it needed to go somewhere and it never went there. And yeah. I just wanted to push Rich Brian out of the way the entire time. It's like, why? Just give me Chung Ha. That's all I need. And you're giving me this guy, and I hate his hair. The suit is fine. Give me Chung Ha with a place to go in the song and on a motorcycle. It kills me that she is creating these songs that I won't be listening to because I want more Chung Ha in my life, but this isn't it.
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of respect for Chung Ha that she's clearly going out of her way to collaborate with some of these people that maybe could benefit from her celebrity, certainly. This was part of an album by the musical collective 88 Rising, and there was the number one track, but not the first single that they released from that. Couple collaborations there with different people, and Rich Brian is not in all of these songs, so maybe there are members of this collective that I would enjoy more. It's just, it's one of those things where if you pair two people together and one of them is just so clearly so much more talented than the other, that mismatch defines the song. And in this song, like, it's not close. It's not even that, like, Rich Brian isn't, like it's already hard to match with Chungha. There are very few male soloists who I think can. And Rich Brian ain't it, Chief.
But you totally nailed him as the poor man's The Weeknd. Honestly, like, I was struggling to define his energy, and that's exactly it.
Yeah, and I don't feel great about that, by the way. That's not where I want to be, but, like, there are good R&B artists in K-pop who we could have turned to instead, right? Like,
he's not Korean. He's Indonesian.
Okay.
You said, what is it, 88 Rising was the collective?
88 Rising, yeah.
I'm looking now.
Are they all Indonesian? Is that...
I'm wondering, because when I noticed the whole thing was in English, I was like, oh, why is that? I'm wondering, who is this?
Apparently, so he's of Chinese descent, born in Jakarta. Okay, here's everything you need to know about this guy. One of his other rap names is Rich Chiga. Chiga. Okay. We're done. We're moving on. I don't want to hear about Rich Brian ever again. Chungha, I hope you collaborate with more talented people around you. Her verse is very good. You can listen to that and then you're good and you've had the whole experience. We're going to move on to a super group, a super M group, if you will, because, you know, this podcast is jumping, and when they're popping.
Oh, God, you have to go to me jumping. First. You have to go to me first. You have to go to me first.
No, I don't. Yes, actually. You do. Absolutely do not. Hey, Kristen, how you doing? How would you like to go first? How are you feeling about Joplin?
You can go to him if you really want to. It's fine.
I don't want to. No, absolutely not. He has tried to subvert my authority too often already on this show.
I have the authority of the edit.
That's true.
That's true. You can turn it around. Something tells me you won't, though. Okay, can we talk about Joplin? Can we talk about Joplin?
Yeah, we need to talk about it because everyone's talking about it. This is everywhere on my feed. This is everywhere on my Twitter. I hear Joplin jokes almost every day. It's big. It's everywhere.
I can't get behind Joplin. I'm sorry. Like, there's so much about this song to like. Like, I really like the beginning of it. But the word Joplin, the drop associated with the word jopping, it kills all goodwill I have towards the song. It sucks because the rap is so good. I like pretty much every part of this song except the chorus. It hurts me.
Yeah. Look.
Also, this video, how much did they spend on it? Jesus, for a song called Jopping.
That's the thing. They had so much money and they spent none of it on the budget for the lyrics. And that's just really unfortunate. Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. You know what? You're getting to go second, buddy. I can't wait anymore. You've now piqued my curiosity.
See? Okay. So I'm just going to read the second bullet point. Dear fucking Jesus bananas, why does the song have to be in English?
Right?
One of my last notes is I'd really like a Korean version of this song so I could enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I look at this and I'm like, okay, you are doing almost everything right in this song. You know, they spent the GDP of a small country on making the video, and the video looks good. The song, like, they have great rap breaks in it. I think for the most part, the song sounds good. But then you get to the lyrics. You get to the lyrics. And it's like a middle schooler who's trying really, really hard to be cool. And it's like, no, no, don't try to act like you're 13. You know, you don't get this. You don't understand what you're doing. You look like and so then I looked because I had to know who on earth wrote these lyrics. And because my thought with this is, here's to me a very obvious thought, is that they have their eyes dead set on America for this. They have their eyes dead set on becoming big in America with this. And so my thought is, you would hire native English speakers for the lyrics. Wouldn't you think you would at least have someone in there who is?
I'm going to take a shot at the doubt that that's not what they did.
There are four credited people. Well, three credited people and one company. The three credited people have basically written entirely K-pop songs. Like, I saw almost nothing American or British or anything looking up stuff that they did. And the fourth is a company called Jam Factory. It's based in Seoul and supposedly is there for exactly this kind of situation. You are an Asian pop group and you want to get English lyrics written. And they apparently employ a bunch of people in the US and I think maybe some in Britain and such, that they apparently employ them to, you know, do exactly what you'd think you would do in there. But they clearly were not listened to. If they were consulted, they either didn't do anything or were not listened to on it, because the word jopping. No, this word does not work. And my God, it's like, I feel like I would like this song if I just didn't have to deal with how stupid these lyrics sound. All the good work you did in other places is completely lost by that. And I'm just like, guys, what? Whoever was behind this, who, what? I want to like this song. Put out a version in Korean so maybe I can listen to it.
Yeah, God. It's really not good. And I don't, yeah. You know, here's the thing. I feel like a hypocrite when I say this, because I agree with you 100%. Jopping is where I draw the line. And I've been given a lot of crap for this because I am a fan of NCT. And NCT 127 has lyrics that I have totally gotten behind that include whoop, 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 fire truck. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, yo. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And Simon Says, we be real vibe killers. Simon Says, none of those bothered me.
You have a high tolerance for bad lyrics.
I have a high tolerance. But, you know, I think it's a couple things. One, the fact that the song is like 95% in English, like it's not like one bad English phrase in a Korean thing where you could be like, oh, that's kind of adorable, right? Like, this entire song is, with a few exceptions, just to remind people that this is in fact a Korean group, but 95% of it is in English. So it's not charming. It doesn't feel like that kind of...
I almost feel like you could almost make the charming work. My first note on here is this song could use a little more cat and dog, because if this song was stupid, if the stuff that they were doing was overtly stupid and you mix those lyrics in there, I could go with it. You know, of we know this is dumb, we know this is stupid, but they're trying really, really hard.
I hate that you're trying to get me to get on your side by using cat and dog as an example. I want to be on the record that I hate this.
But I'm also not wrong.
You're not wrong.
Ah, God, it really would help if they'd been just a little sillier. I'm going to say Simon Says style sillier, but yeah, this doesn't work. And it's one of those things where, like, again, this is everywhere on my timeline. People, if you are a fan of any of these, like, you know, any of the members here, a lot of people are all on board. And look, Baekhyun does an amazing job. I'll give, you know, Shay's Bias a shout out there. He is, to my opinion, he shines on this. But here's the thing. I think in my heart of hearts, even I could get over jopping if the drop was fun. It's not. It's not a fun drop. It drops to this like deep bass line that doesn't really like none of the pieces build on each other so much as like individually connect. If that makes, I it's hard for me to phrase it, but like there's never that moment where it builds to like that ultimate pop off, right? Every time you think it's going to go there, it goes back down to reset the bass line, to reset that build, rather than ever giving us that culmination. And I feel like, as a result, we never get that payoff that I can get lost in. You know, think about a song like Adios, right? Like Adios could have very silly lyrics, but that drop would still be fire. That would be a great drop that you could easily get lost in an EDM style way. I don't know. I don't think musically the song does enough to force me to justify getting over the lyrics. So I just am not. And I didn't. And so I'm not. Unfortunately, guys, I may be jumping at times in my life, and I may in fact be popping at some times in my life, but I do not think I will be jopping.
This is a no-jop zone.
Move on.
Oh my god. Time to move on. Yeah. We are, we had a lot of people very upset with us.
I don't care.
Be sure to let us know in the comments section. Leave us a review on how dumb we are. Please, always love hearing from you.
You can only hate on us in the comments if you give us 5 stars. So that's the rule.
That's true. Yeah, that's the trade. If you give us 5 stars, you can say whatever you want.
Yes.
And we'll be cool.
And if you listen to us long enough to hate us, you've given us a, we've gotten the money from the sponsorship read.
Oh no. We need to move on real bad. Wonderland by ATs. Welcome back, Pirate Kings. This is the ATs that I like. This is what I've been waiting for. I'm going to let you go first this time, Zach. What did you think of Wonderland?
I'm trying to remember the specific ATs songs we've listened to before, but I think this is where I think they click with me of like, okay, I get what this group is now. Maybe I'm missing something from earlier, but it's like, okay, I understand now, because the last one I remember was that one where they shot the video all across Russia or something, and mm-hmm. we realized when talking about it in the podcast, we had nothing to say. That's the last thing I remember from them. So I've probably missed some stuff in there, but I'm like, okay, I see how this clicks. There's an intensity to this song throughout. I think that type of thing tends to work better for boy groups with me, and they have some really strong rap breaks in this too. So I'm like, okay, I'm not sure how much I'll listen to them, but I definitely, this is clicking. This is making more sense now. Also, a few other notes because I have to. Can I just kind of rub this in Blackpink's face and say this is a much better use of a marching band than Kill This Love?
I don't
think it's a better use of a marching band.
I necessarily disagree. It's a great use of a marching band.
It
yeah.
is.
With Blackpink, I've just I'm at a point where I've realized like they don't care about whether it's a song that would be like a single. It's going to be no matter what they do. That whole like Kill This Love works because the whole reason it exists is to be played in amphitheaters as like the hype song for every concert they ever run for the rest of their lives. And it does that very well. Wonderland, yeah. I think, is a better song.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Like, and I love Wonderland for the record. This is my second favorite song of the month.
There was one other thing I have to say. There was a moment in this video where I realized the people designing, doing the cinematography on the video, got in my head in a way I didn't expect when I saw the fake letterboxing effect on those robot arms waving the flags. And I was just like, oh my God, I did not know I liked this effect this much, but holy shit, you're doing a great job of just having a really memorable look in this moment.
I love that one too. What do you think, Kristen? What were your thoughts on Wonderland?
I'm with Zach. This is the kind of thing that a lot of boy groups do that really just, it just clicks for me. I really like this song, and I've been listening to it a lot more than I thought I would, considering my general feelings about boy groups and kind of feeling a little bit cool on ATs. But unlike the song that we previously discussed that shall not be mentioned anymore, the lyrics and feel like they're actually in line with the melody and everything else about the video. It feels monumental and appropriate. And you know I love a big band moment. I love a marching band. I love that this has become more of a thing in 2019. I'm all in on Wonderland. Really good.
Yeah. It's one of the best versions of this style from ATs. And I think that's one of the things, like, Promise is a song that was not designed for us as podcasters. Like, our tastes as a typical unit skew very heavily towards harder songs like this when we go to boy groups than the sweeter stuff. You know, Shay would tell you that everything ATs has brought out has been incredible. And I think ATs has had a very good year. But as someone who's, my favorite song for them has been Pirate King for a while, followed by pretty much everything from that album. This is what I want from ATs. This is them going hard. This is Mingy popping off on his rap verse. His in particular is just absolutely dominates the song. They've got two very good rappers that really were able to carry a lot. They've got that attitude to them. And this is what I mean when I talk about how, you know, a drop can carry things. Like, whatever the lyrics were going to be for this, I'm already just brought in by the way that they roll the bass into the lyrics and kind of like there's a real effort there to build something that feels cohesive, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, that's very easy to get drawn into. And it's very easy to see why people are loving the song as much as they are. It did very, very well for what would it is otherwise a very small studio, KQ Entertainment. I don't know anything else that they've done. So it's great to see this. I'm glad that this exists and is out there and that I have another AT song to grind. It stands as an interesting comparison point, I think, to the next song on our list, because it is the other boy group that went really hard this month and that always goes hard and we hope will go hard again. Spoiler alert, would be Double Knot by Stray Kids. And so I kind of want to segue in here because I do think they're an interesting contrast. Stray Kids, of course, have never done a song like what Promise was, where it was, you know, they don't do slow songs almost ever. I can't think of very many, if any, Stray Kids song that we've listened to on this show that I would describe that way. They always go hard. They're always coming at you. And so I'm curious, Kristen, when you compare like the energies of these two songs, these two kind of boy groups going hard, which one ultimately gets the edge to you?
Oh, do I have to make a choice?
Yeah, well, you can talk about Double Knot first and then see if that leads you to a choice, but...
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say that I'm sad that Woojin is leaving Stray Kids, but hope that he enjoys the next chapter of his life. And it's sad that this is going to be his last song.
Yeah. Should we just talk about that now?
Should we just talk about it real fast?
Woojin has left Stray Kids for personal reasons, and that sucks. You know, anyone who's followed Stray Kids, a lot of their singles have really gone in on, like, you know, OT9, right? It's All of Us or None. Stray Kids, we're a full-on team. And then this happened. And Woojin, we really don't know much of anything, really, about what happened there. Like I said, it's been displayed as personal reasons, which sometimes means dating stuff. But this was an indefinite leave. Like they said, the contract was terminated, which is very different from like, hey, we're just going to hide him away for a bit and hope that you forget. And so like, yeah, maybe there was an artistic thing where they didn't agree on the direction of the group. It's kind of hard to see, but it's also very hard to see Stray Kids being the Stray Kids that we know and love without him, because he's just such an important member of what it is that they do. So yeah, two times this month we had a boy group that I really like release a song, and then within a week, by the way, that person's out for frustrating reasons. So yeah, man, we're never gonna get to see the song performed on shows and things the way it was originally supposed to because of it as a result. But yeah, it does color the song, right, Kristen?
It definitely does.
So how do you end up? Where do you end up on it as a result? Because you can't not see
it. You cannot see it. But I still really like the song. Like, the flow is so good for me, and there's something about the main hook that gels with my brain and just gets stuck in a loop almost. And I really enjoy it. It is just like when I was rewatching the video, it's just really sad to see Woojin there, but I also just really like the song, and I wish that we could see them all perform it together. Now, with that being said, when I was just saying what I said, I think Wonderland kind of beats Double Knot out just by a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just a bit. But that might change by next month. Who knows what I listen to more.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is we don't have to choose. I do think that, like, my love of Double Knot is being biased a little bit by the fact that I know I'm never getting a song with all nine of them again. Like, that really does. It's hard not to think about it as, like, oh, like a final go in that regard. Though people will point out Woojin did not have a lot of lines on that song. So, you know, it feels wrong to have him gone. And I don't know how the group is going to react against so much of their attitude and the way they presented themselves was about this OT9. And that's how it's not like a Blackpink situation where you have a whole bunch of solo fans that are easy to kind of work in and out. Like, this is going to genuinely be hard for some people to buy in. So I don't know what happens, but I do like this song. I do agree with you that I like Wonderland a little bit more. But before I kind of wrap up here, I do want to hear from you, Zach. Where do you stand on Double Knot?
My reaction to this, I think, is I'm going to coin this as Andrew's maxim, because Andrew said something on when the podcast he was on. I think he used this as justification for not initialing songs, but I feel like this kind of fits here, even though I initialed it, in that I'm like, Stray Kids is good. That just seems to be a thing that they do. I think he compared to like Red Velvet putting out good songs to being like a law of nature, you know, of just that kind of thing happens. It's a good, you know, it's a good, solid Stray Kids song. I don't have a lot to say about this one in particular, because it's, you know, a solid song of theirs. To kind of continue the comparison between the two, I would say that this one, I'm like, this is a solid song, and but I would give more credit to Wonderland. I think that one's stronger overall. And that one, I have more enthusiasm about that one. Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to point out just a couple of things in the from the video itself. I love that shot where they're walking down the street, and like, obvious visual effects aside, the fact that it's like one of them walking down the street, but he keeps changing into a different member of the group all the way down.
That was so
I'm like,
good.
I loved that shot when I noticed that, like, oh, that's what you're doing there. Okay, that one's good. And every now and then, it just seems to be where, like, I run into a group of videos where I'm like, everyone I look at, I'm like, oh, I've seen this shooting location in somewhere before. And I feel like this video is full of locations of like, oh, wait a minute, I think I have seen this before. If I'm recalling correctly, I think this one includes some shots of places where it's like, wait a minute, I first saw these in Luna videos. It's just funny realizing, you know, how much overlap there is in places where they shoot somewhere where it's like, oh, wait a minute, I have seen this place in some other videos. I don't know. I noticed some things about the video, but it's a Stray Kids song. It's in there, you know, it's good.
You know, I'm going to put it this way. I have my list I've been putting together, and I think I'm not going to share it until the end of the year to just build some anticipation. But I have listed every song in 2019 that at one point in time has been the most played song on my rotation that day. A song that was so good that it took over at least one day of the year for me. Twice has four songs. We're going to get to the fourth later. Stray Kids and CLC are tied in second with three, and no one else has three. Like that, I think, says a lot to their consistency. Every Stray Kids song they put out has been great. Of the three, this is probably the weakest one. But if this was the third best thing you put out, 99% of boy groups would be...
They would kill someone for it.
Yeah, exactly. So
maybe that's what they're afraid of.
Well, I guess Woojin won't be afraid of it anymore. It's going to hurt for a while, guys. But I think that leads us all to say Wonderland by AT's, very good song. Absolutely check it out. Double Knot by Stray Kids. If you like Stray Kids, another great song. Definitely check it out. Pour one out for Woojin and guy groups in general, man. It's been a rough year with now four down for the count and some major.
What was that tweet you sent out, Chase? What was the...
Oh, just like, low man, you know, Everglow and ITZY are fighting for best rookie group. Look at all this stuff that Idol's doing and Blackpink and Twice are setting records. Like, what a great year. And then you look at the boy groups and just everything's on fire.
It's Troy coming back into the room with pizza.
Exactly. That was the exact one I used.
I do have to add in, just to rub it in even further, that what, and I think I mentioned this on Twitter too, but I'll mention it again here. One, let's add Queendom to the girl group side, even though we're not talking about that this episode. And also, do you want to have the conversation of who's rookie boy group of the year?
I guess we should save it for the end of the year.
I mean, I guess we can, like...
Well, no, it's a rhetorical question.
Okay.
My
point is, who's the front runner of rookie boy group of the year? And are they anywhere near the battle that ITZY and Everglow are putting on?
I guess it really depends on whether you believe that ATs should qualify as rookies, because if not, and they shouldn't, for the record, because they came out in December of last year.
Right. The fact that you have to try and find a loophole to make that an even remotely interesting competition.
Are you saying the battle between Ab 6, One Us, and Very Very isn't gripping you in anticipation? That Mont, M-O-N-T, and Argon having the... riled you up for the future of God, this has been a rough one.
And not even mentioning the elephant in the room, which we'll get to next week.
Oh, is there an elephant in the room?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Rookie boy group, elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the answer. I just don't want to admit it. So
moving on.
I don't have to. Moving on. Last song of this episode, Set Me Free by Ladies Code. Ladies Code, a group that we talked about earlier in the year. Hey, we should probably pay more attention to Ladies Code. And now we have. And it turns out they're still making some pretty good stuff. Kristen, thoughts on Set Me Free?
Okay.
Oh, right. Oh no.
Okay.
I may have given you the wrong lead into this section. My apologies.
Possibly. This is good. I bopped along to it. It's perfectly fine. It just, there's something holding me back from going all in on Ladies Code. It's weird. Like, and I think part of it, I know I talk about visuals and the videos a lot, but did anyone else get a little thrown off by them sitting in the Ferrari just holding guns very sloppily? Like, to me, the imagery of the imagery in the video just seems so out of sync with the bubbliness of the song, and it just, like, the visuals, it's a different song, and I get the whole concept of opulence and living the high life, but really, this, it just didn't seem to match up for me.
So you don't like a good casino heist?
I was gonna say, yeah, no casino heist. You're not a fan of Ocean's 11, is what we've learned today.
No, I am. It's just, this is not the song for that vibe.
You're saying this should not be the soundtrack of Ocean's 11. Okay.
This isn't the soundtrack to Ocean's 11. If we are going to make a South Korean film that is a casino, an all-girl casino heist, this is not the song for that.
You get crushed by Wiki Miki.
Yeah. This is not the song for that movie.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, I have to say, this is something that we talked about a little bit too with Out of My Mind, which you weren't here to talk about on the podcast last month.
Right.
But that was another video in which the imagery there took away from you your ability to enjoy it as much as I think the rest of us did.
And I think it's because a lot of the times when I'm first listening to these songs, it's watching the videos. And for me, as you guys know, visuals mean a lot to me. Like, that's my whole, like, my degrees in my career are based on visuals and art and design, and it just didn't work for me.
Yeah, so, you know, and it's funny because I think that so much of it comes down to, like, how you feel about the appropriation of some of this stuff. If you think about American pop music, right? Guns are so celebrated in American culture that this has been a standard for a lot of the music that they're clearly ripping from. Like, this is going for a look, because K-pop likes to wear the aesthetics without the deeper implications and history behind them, which I understand why that can be frustrating to some people.
It definitely is. And that is a conversation that I feel like should be had, but it's like, you can tell those girls have never held a gun in their lives.
Are you saying the one that pointed it towards her head just super casually at one point?
I know. God, that it drove me crazy.
You're telling me that musicians and other entertainers don't quite know how to hold guns properly and do it wrong all the time?
But it completely dispelled the notion of it being believable at all, and it kept me from buying into the fantasy. And it's like, it's not so much about getting it right as just also commitment. I just feel like, I don't know, it to me, in the video, they seemed almost lackadaisical about it all. Where is the commitment here to the fantasy? There is none. And that just drew me out of it as well.
Interesting. I want to get your thoughts on this, Zach, because I want to digest what you just said there, actually. So as a host, I get to buy myself some time. What do you think, Zach?
My thought is, when you're saying, like, that the video and the sound of the song and what they're doing in the video doesn't quite seem to match, and they seem weirdly lackadaisical about this, and obviously have never handled a gun in their life, and I'm like, I'm not going to say that I disagree with you about any of those things. I just don't care.
That's fair. That is completely fair.
The song's fun to listen to. The video's fun to watch. They don't entirely match. I don't really care. It feels a little, the style of the song and video made me kind of think back to a bunch of stuff in 2014, 2015-ish, which also makes sense because they were their time when they were probably most active and at their peak was in a different era. So they're a little styled by that while still being. It's funny that, yes, just a difference of 4 or 5 years can make a big difference, but this is K-pop. It moves way too fast sometimes. It's fun to listen to. It reminded me of that stuff, which was also kind of the stuff that I was listening to the most when I got into K-pop. So, you know, a bit of that there. But yeah, fun to watch, fun to listen to. And you make good points, and they don't, I don't care. They don't bug me at all.
That's completely fair. You can completely disregard the visuals, or they could even work for you.
Yeah, I mean,
this is all like, subjective.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of whenever, like, without getting into some of the other parts of it, but just when you were saying of like how they clearly have been handling things, like they've never held a gun in their life, and oh, this isn't how you handle a gun, and all of these things, and I'm like, I follow way too much, oh, say superhero fiction for any of that to ever matter to me. You know, of does the is the thing fun and does the thing work? Then I will forego, oh, I don't know, somebody firing ice at a bunch of lasers and freezing them and walking through it like they're icicles because, you know what? I don't care. I've bought into the thing. So they don't know how to handle a gun. They've got, you know, they've got this weird style with it. I don't care. If it's fun enough, it doesn't bug me.
But also, it happened. It happened at the very beginning for me. And I think that's why, like, it kept me from buying into it.
You know, for me, it's just one of those things where, like, you know, it's funny. What you see is the detriment to this idea aesthetically, right? That, you know, they're wearing an outfit rather than embracing all of the meaning behind it. To me, it allows K-pop to do some really fun things without having to delve in. Like, and maybe this is part of, like, you know, some of what I like about K-pop is the ability to turn off my brain in an era in which everything is a nightmare that we follow on a regular basis on social media and whatever else. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the prison setting and just like, yeah, we're just using this to be badasses like Third Eye did last week, or whether it's this kind of heist thing. And it's just like, hey, we're just going to have some jazzy fun here. And we're just using this as a backdrop to do this fun video idea that we have. Okay. Is the video fun? Am I having a fun time with what I'm watching? And yes, the attractive woman hanging around in a casino doing all those Ocean's 11 shenanigans before breaking into a dance party in the middle of a random tunnel. Like, yes, okay, I'm in. That was a fun time, Ladies Code. I had a fun time listening to your song. I also will say that I really like the blue-haired girl, Sojun. Yeah. Really did a great job on this song.
When I saw the thumbnail for the video, I kept confusing her with the girl from Bubblegum.
Yes. Who also has blue hair right now.
Right, but she has like very similar blue hair. And so I kept seeing the thumbnail and was like, wait a minute.
It is similar.
It's a look.
It's a good look.
Maybe I should go for it. Like, comment, subscribe if you think I should go for that blue hair. It's a good look. I'm feeling it. Yeah. It's a good color. Pops. I'm all in this play. So I guess mileage going to vary on Ladies Code. I think it's what we've...
I'm sorry. I feel like I hijacked an entire conversation to talk about aesthetics.
I don't know if you know this, Kristen, but the point of the podcast is to talk about how we feel about songs.
Consider that at one point I was tempted to call this show the K-pop tangent because we can never stay on a fucking topic.
That's very fair. That's our alternate title.
Yeah, the alternate universe. If you go to the Marvel 616 universe, that's the name of it there. But look, thank you guys so much for listening to what was, in fact, an episode of the K-Pop Shenanigans podcast. I think that we are more on point than either my co-host will give us credit for, though the edit will tell us whether that's true or not. Thank everyone for listening. If you did enjoy it, seriously, all that like, comment, subscribe stuff. We joke about it, but it genuinely does mean a lot. If you just tell people about the show that you think would enjoy it, that also helps a lot. We just love being able to share what we do with people. We hit 1,000 overall views as a show just a couple weeks ago, which I know, like, in the age of YouTube, like, 1,000 doesn't always feel like much, but the fact that 1,000 people have sat down and listened to us ramble about all of the things is an absolutely incredible feeling. And thanks to everyone who has been on this journey, and may the next 1,000 come even faster than the first 1,000.
We already just inched past 1,100.
Wow. I love to hear it. Look,
so it's like, okay, hopefully accelerating. I want to see it accelerate faster.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you did enjoy the show and you really want to help out, we do have a donate button on our Anchor FM page. Zach just put so much effort in editing this show and turning it into something listenable for y'all. So I highly recommend throwing some love his way if you think that it was worth that. But of course, You should also follow all of my lovely, talented co-hosts on their social media platforms. Kristen, where can the nice people at home find you?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at kpignolo.
Great. What about you, Zach?
On Twitter at ramblybadger for the usual Twittery bull, and at ravenousbadger for if you just want to see me posting when I finish projects, which really has not been many recently, so I need to work on that.
Amen. I'm looking forward to them whenever they come out. We should say, shout out to you. We got both of our September episodes out before the end of October. So all uphill from here, fam.
It's a low bar and I got over it. Yay!
We got it. Look, the bar was met. That's all that matters. And all that matters is that part two of this podcast will hopefully be coming out about a week after you're listening to this one. We've got seven more songs and our 60-second segments. So definitely come back for that. And until then, goodbye, internet.
Bye.
I would say goodnight, but it's way too early for that.
It's way too early.
I mean, you don't know how early it is for them. Maybe it is goodnight for them by the time it comes out.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit of an ego, you know, an egocentric thing right now. For me, it's not goodnight, so.
I see.
Somewhere in there is the ending to the show. I don't know where. I mean, that's a better outcome than everyone being dead. Probably
being a very operative word here.